Fiends. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, getting droned by Joros and the Koch brothers together. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Lisa and John Vibes. And something interesting has happened. We are covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we need like a no Soros Coke license. And people are probably saying, what are you talking about? Last week.
You're talking about that cocaine that George Soros sells?
Is there cocaine? Or is it just Charles Koch? I don't know. But anyway, it might not be Charles Koch. It might be different Koch brothers. It might be a different George Soros for all I know. Because there are multiple Christopher Cantwells and multiple Martin Shkreli's or Scarelli's or whatever his name is. But we had technical difficulties tonight, so if you're just tuning in now and you didn't hear whatever was playing before that, you don't know what happened. But we got droned last week, and Lisa's partially responsible, even though she wasn't on here. Well, and Chandler was definitely responsible. You see, there was a story that our friend Paul Gordon from iState.tv did. It was about his daughter's school sending this letter home talking about how she's supposed to be a good global citizen and all this other nonsense. And he wrote a story about it, and Lisa published it on Daily Sheeple. And
guilty, I did.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing: publishing on Sheeple didn't get taken down because, you know, the cat was already out of the bag, but they had to keep it from proliferating any further. So when Paul did his video on it, they went inside, they hacked into his computer, and they zucked all his audio. So his audio was just horrible. He had hate crime level audio. I mean, it was just bad audio. Forget about it. Yeah. There are Mossad agents chasing him for his Holocaust of bad audio.
Oh, my goodness.
It's true.
That's intense.
Yeah. And then.
Is he a Holocaust denier?
No. He's a survivor. But then they got in, they zucked his computer, his hard drive or something like that. He lost 300 gigs of data. 300 gigs.
I would cry in the corner.
Yeah. Fortunately, the video of him eating fried bacon at Liberty Fest and enjoying it is still safe and intact.
Did that really happen?
Oh, yeah.
Did it happen?
Oh, my God. He was eating it like it had the antidote. He was eating it like it had Robitussin in it.
That's good information to have. Okay.
Yeah, he was destroying that bacon like government destroys an economy. And he was all over it. So, and the look on his face, he had bacon grease dripping down his chin. But anyway, we're burying the lead here, which is normal, but we don't want to bury it too far because, you know, well, we bury the lead so we can dig it up in the summertime or in the wintertime and have leads while we're hibernating. So anyway.
Like kimchi.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And squirrels with their nuts. So anyway. We were going to cover that story. We were going to use your article, his article that you published on Sheeple. Mm. And we got about 4 minutes into the show last week. And all of a sudden, GCN got zucked. And come to find out, and I have the documents to prove this, the Koch brothers and Soros were at the Build-A-Bear convention. Teddy bears. Okay. And George says to the brothers, he says, you know what? We can't have this going out because this is damaging to us because people are going to find out. And the Koch brothers says, you know what? I think you're right. Let's get on it. I mean, granted, we could probably do a diversion and nobody would notice it, but Cantwell's cooling his heels right now, so we can't call on him. So, yeah, let's just take him down. So they get done building their teddy bear at the Build-A-Bear convention. They come on out of the workroom, and they call their people. They put their people on this because they got people that do stuff like this. You know, they just handle business, and they say, take them down. You know, it's kind of like the guy in that meme with holding on to the walkie-talkie says, "Shut it down." Yeah, that is them. That is
shut exactly it down like a five-year-old's lemonade stand.
Exactly, exactly. And they shut us down. I mean, we're just left here holding our microphones, and we're like, "God, what do we do? What do we do?" And the board op was like, "Man, I got everybody in on it. We called everybody in and bringing them in. They're playing around with wires and all this other stuff, and we got zucked." And because somebody has suggested that I cover it tonight, I think that's why we were half an hour late coming on.
Oh my goodness.
I have absolutely no evidence that happened this way. There's no proof whatsoever.
I was going to say that was very elaborate.
I know, it sure was. Lots of detail.
Well, I do have some documents. But anyway. That being said,
you shouldn't have said that. Now your data is going to get zucked. You just showed them your hand.
Yeah, but they don't know which device it's on. It's not like they can take down all the devices.
They'll take down all the devices.
Well, you printed out the documents, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, hard copies. Smart.
Yeah, I did it old school. So anyway, the bottom line is we're not going to talk about this. Not because we're worried, not because we're scared, but because the time has passed. It's no longer relevant. It's no longer time sensitive. So can I please have my kitten back?
Your kitten?
They took my kitten.
Who took your kitten? What? Okay, so that's not cool.
They that shall not be named.
Took your kitten.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't have
you a just this yet. Escalated. Okay, I was gonna say this really escalated to the point where I was sitting here up like, what? You had me upset.
I don't have a kitten yet, but anyway, so I'm not saying that's the reason that last week's show was a replay, but it probably leans towards being a little bit slightly possible. I'm not saying that's how it went, not saying that's how it happened. Just saying, it could have been that way.
So not anyway. Much surprises me anymore.
Oh yeah, if you think the conspiracy theories are crazy, I'll see what's really happening. So now that we've done that, what's going on with you guys? I haven't talked to you, Lisa, in quite a long time. John, I talked to you one time, and this is your first time doing a show together, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So introduce yourselves. Tell everybody about you.
John,
you start out. All right.
John gets to go first.
I found out that I don't have cancer anymore, so that's pretty cool.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's great news.
That was pretty exciting. I wasn't really too sure what the future was looking like, but now things are looking like I'll actually be able to get back to my life, which mostly consists of writing. You know, I just live out in the woods and I sit out here in a cabin and write, you know, articles, mostly for Free Thought Project. There's a couple of other sites I write for, too. And I have 4 books out now, but, you know, they don't really get read too often.
I actually have one of them sitting right here on my table.
That is awesome.
The Conscious Resistance? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. The newer ones are my favorite. The ones I've done with Derek are my favorites by far.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm my book backlog is pretty bad because I have a bad Amazon problem. So I ordered that at the same time I ordered the Konkin Agorism book. But
struggle is real. I know how it is.
But I have 3 other books in the works right now that I'm reading too, because I write about nutrition mostly for my own website, and so I'm always trying to read those books first so I can review them.
NutritionalAnarchy.com.
Thank you for the shameless plug. I love it. That's me.
Nice. Selfless shame promotion. That's what I'm for.
Excellent.
But yeah, that's about most of what's exciting with me.
Well, congratulations on the cancer. Do you mind talking about it a little bit? Because this is a subject that's very near and dear to a lot of our listeners' hearts. You know, they've had family members that have dealt with it, and so
it was a long, long road, and it was. Filled with like a lot of different approaches, and you know, when I first got diagnosed, of course, as you know, an alternative media guy, I wanted to you know prove everything about, you know, alternative medicine and everything, which I do wholeheartedly believe. But by the time the doctors even were able to diagnose me, it had grown so far out of control. And I still tried for a year to take care of it with cannabis oil and SCACT, B17, all sorts of different things. Me and my wife did tons and tons of research. And, you know, it actually did have a positive effect. And it did start to work, but it was working very slowly. And I had a couple of complications. It was the type of cancer I had was lymphoma. And I was basically, all this fluid was building up in my chest. And I had something called a pleural effusion and a pericardial effusion. And basically what they are is it's fluid around the heart and the lungs, and it like puts pressure on it. So it like puts pressure on your heart and your lungs so you can't breathe. And I was having to like get this procedure done where they like take the fluid out like every week.
Oh, gosh.
And
you know, I think Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, had something similar to that a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
He had a problem with the fluid and pressure around his heart, and they thought that he had a lot of heart problems.
Wow. Yeah, so that was definitely a concern. And if I the longer that I messed with that, you know, the more dangerous things were going to get for me. And it got to a point where I had to eventually end my experiment and give in to the doctors and, you know, basically nuke the cancer instead of fighting it with you know, the I guess the natural stuff works, but it works gradually on your body because that's how healing works. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the chemo process is very intense, and that's why I compared it to nuking. I think it's pretty apt.
That yeah. seems like a good way to describe it.
And we'll be back after this trip to the market. Meow.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Lisa and John, and we have a public service announcement tonight. In 3 weeks, MWD will have to pay $400 for the year to keep the Freedom Fiends iTunes app going. He's wondering if it's worth it. The Android app will stay because it's only $100 a year to keep going, but the iTunes one is four times as much and far less people use it. So, if you are using the Freedom Fiends iPhone app, please email Bipcoin, Bipcoin, at gmail.com. That's Bipcoin, Bravo, India, Papa, Coin, at gmail.com. And let MWD know that you still want him to keep it going. Or post a comment on the episode on the Freedom Fiends site. Or if some elite iPhone user really likes it and wants to pitch in $400, MWD will pay it all to keep the app going for another year. Thank you, Worms.
Worms.
Won't you please help? For a fraction of the price of a pumpkin spice latte, you can sponsor a Freedom Fiends radio show app. So, anyway, hashtag please donut.
Donuts, yum.
There donuts. You go.
So, before the break, we were talking about John's battle with cancer, and once again, congratulations. I'm really happy to hear that you're doing better and cancer-free. There was something that you wanted to clarify on there. And then also, a question that I did have for you was, you had mentioned that the cancer had been diagnosed further along, or quite a ways along, and that's why you had to go with the traditional methods. Do you think it's a safe bet that had it been caught earlier, like right in the very beginning stages, that the natural medication would have been yielded better results, and why?
Absolutely, because I definitely noticed a radical like reduction in all of my symptoms over, you know, just a few weeks to like a month of the natural treatments and stuff like that. And you know, I did change my diet to an extent, but definitely not as good as I should have. But I noticed the tumors. I could feel the tumors like with my hand. They were, you know, sticking out of my armpit and stuff, and out of my chest and out of my neck. So I could feel them, and I definitely felt a reduction in the size over those first few months.
Wow.
But they were still fairly large, and the one started to break into pieces. But the problem was is that they were still there, and it was still causing all that fluid to back up. And so that was the complications I was dealing with. And the fact that, like, I mean, the thing was the tumor was like the size of like a dinner plate in my chest.
Wow.
By the time the doctors figured out what it was.
Whoa.
So it would have been a big challenge to, but I tried for a year, you know, and I did, it managed it really well. I, you know, if I didn't treat it with anything for that year, it would probably would have been pretty bad, you know?
Right.
So it definitely kept me hanging on for that year and reduced my symptoms quite a bit.
Now,
but
let,
it
let
was
clarify.
Just unmanageable.
Let me clarify. I may have missed this. Were you using the CBD oil and some of the other stuff before you had the full diagnosis, or was it after you had the...
Because I was under the impression that I had like Lyme's disease or something.
Okay.
And all the, like, I went to like three different doctors who had no clue what was going on. And they really, you know, they told me it was no big deal and stuff until somebody finally took it seriously. And, I didn't end up taking the cannabis oil till after, and it was actually it wasn't just CBD, it was what they call a full extract, which contains both THC and CBD, because both of those compounds are said to fight cancer. And I continued to use that into the traditional treatment I got, because it helped with the sickness so much, too.
Right, that is just fascinating to me. I thought I had a scare back when my hand first swelled up, and I thought maybe that I had lymphoma. And so I know it's really hard to diagnose. It's very tricky, and there's a lot of overlap with other conditions, symptoms. So I was, Lou, you might remember that. I was pretty spooked.
Yes.
Yeah. But then it turned out it was, then it turned out it was, you know, just the, I shouldn't say just the psoriatic arthritis, because it's no fun, but not quite as bad, obviously. But, you know, I have it in my SI joints and my hand.
And we'll be back.
Oh, okay.
Second hour.
All right.
Yeah. Meow, 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 meow. Yeah, I got well water too. Yeah, I got the same. I'm on the same aquifer.
We're coming in
spring. Yeah, well, this show's so messed up tonight that. This is the Freedom Fiends talking about well water in well water in artesian springs through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop the water collection point. On the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And we are still broadcasting, even though our first early broadcasts on terrestrial radio have made their way to Alpha Centauri, we're still communicating with them. You know why? Because we got more to say. We're not going to stop until we're done or somebody pulls the plug on us.
Well, the pulls the plug thing seems like it's starting to happen.
Until
I don't mean to sound like a downer, but what?
All right, Debbie Downer.
I know. That's my 2017 has done that to me.
Oh, I can understand that.
2017 is just a year. Quit being offended by everything.
No. I'm not offended by anything.
Good. So We're going because we got a late start. We didn't finish up the discussion that we're having in the first hour. So John's going to go ahead and wrap up his story, and if Lisa has something to add to it, she's going to add some of her stuff. So anyway,
yeah, that sounds good. Well, the main thing that I wanted to say was that I feel like the one thing that is at a we're at a disadvantage with a lot of these natural cures, especially ones like cannabis oil that were illegal for so long. So much of the research has been blocked on these things, or they haven't been funded, like, you know, all the mainstream treatment that's very damaging to people, and you know, it's very rough. You know, all the money's funneled into that, and so when I'm trying you know, all of these alternative treatments and stuff, I'm like, you know, making it up in my kitchen, like, or I'm just like taking some, you know, a pill that's been made. What we need is, like, we need to figure out how to, like, inject this stuff into the tumors, and we need to find out how to do, like, intravenous doses and stuff like that. That's, I think, where we could have even more success with those kind of things, instead of just, you know, us hippies out here blind leading the blind trying to figure out how to do it in our houses. So I think that's where we're at somewhat of a disadvantage too. And I will say that navigating through the medical health system was a mess. And I dealt with a lot of people that, like, you know, they had no concern for me, and it was obvious. I did get very lucky in the end that I hooked up with a doctor who was respectful of, you know, my perspective, and actually did seem to really care and was very cautious about everything, and actually did have a respect for how dangerous the mainstream treatment was, and was very, very cautious. So if anybody's in that situation, I think it's if it's not super, super dangerous to do so, I think it's smart to try the natural stuff because of the fact that the mainstream treatment is so rough. And I can definitely say that from experience. So if it can be avoided, it's preferable.
Go ahead, Lisa.
That's how I would do it too. I would explore all the other. When I studied for my undergrad, I took a few natural health classes, some herbology, and that would be my path. One of the classes I took was called The Politics of Cancer, and one of the books that we used for that class was this massive book written by a medical doctor. His last name was Epstein. I don't remember the first name, but it was fascinating. He went back in history and talked about, you know, the history of cancer treatment, and that's a deep subject to get into, and maybe for another time, but that started to get me thinking, you know, gosh, if I'm ever diagnosed with this, I'm not going to immediately accept the allopathic, you know, mainstream course of treatment. I'm definitely going to be exploring other options. And about the cannabis issue, you know, and other drugs too that are considered street drugs, it's really a shame that the war on drugs has ever been a thing, and largely because, well, for so many reasons. But one of them is, think about how if cannabis had never been, you know, considered this horrible thing and made illegal, how many people would have just used it recreationally and potentially, you know, prevented a lot of disease from happening? Who knows?
And well,
I do have to add a little something to what Lisa said. The war on drugs, aka no cartel or police agency left behind.
Yes.
Continue, John.
Oh, well, I was just gonna say, I'm not sure where I heard it, and I'm not sure how accurate it is. So this could just be secondhand stoner knowledge or whatever. But apparently,
bad wisdom.
Apparently, cannabis was a part of you know, human diets and animal diets for a really long time. And because it grew everywhere, apparently, and you know, and apparently, you know, it was good for food, and it actually did prevent a lot of disease, and it prevents more disease, of course, when it's ingested than when it's smoked.
Right.
I don't know how true that is, because, you know, in weed culture, you hear so much nonsense, and some of it's really true, and some of it's just some dude saying some stuff.
Right, but if you consider we have the endocannabinoid system in our body, it makes sense.
Exactly.
That we're meant to consume that. And it's a shame that some, you know, I can't remember the guy's name, Anslinger or whatever, you know, decades ago decided that weed was this horrible thing and that nobody should have access to it. And here we are. And
he was also, wasn't he in charge of like the Department of Prohibition? And since Prohibition of alcohol had ended, he had to find something else to prohibit.
Yes.
Yeah. So never expect a person to do the right thing when their salary depends upon them doing the wrong thing. I hate to quote a socialist, but quoting a socialist to describe socialists is the perfect way to go.
Mind that anything that health related that the government tells you to do the opposite. I mean, look at the food pyramid. You know, for so long they told us that dietary fat was horrible and that we all had to do this low fat diet, and that has been disastrous. That's why we have so much type 2 diabetes. I could go on about that forever, so go ahead, Lou. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know you could. If we need to kill some time, we'll get you going. We'll pull that string in your back that makes you talk.
My
understanding is that some of the founding lawyers, you know, the founding fathers, grew hemp and cannabis, and it was referred to as toothache tobacco.
Oh, really?
Now, I don't know how much truth there is to that. They could be stoner lore. I don't know. But it's always a possibility. Well,
to add to the stoner lore, Terrence McKenna claimed that the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper.
You never know. Wouldn't that be funny?
You know what? This might be stoner lore, but I hear that the script of the first Cheech and Chong movie was written on hemp paper, too.
That's probably likely.
Have you ever written the Declaration of Independence on weed? Sorry, I had to go there.
You mean being on weed or writing it on weed?
Both. It works both ways. Why not both?
Yeah. So, and here's a question for you, John, and I'm springing this on you. What if, because you had mentioned the experimentation with the alternative methods and things like that, and how there's really not an avenue for that. Do you know of, or do you think it would be possible to create an open sourced type of experimentation where people reported their information? Now, Grant, I know that this is going to be problematic because when it comes to reporting information, people underreport, overreport, misreport, and things get a little bit messed up. But do you think maybe there might be some sort of an underground type of experimentation and collection of information and sharing of it?
I think something like that could be possible for sure. There is definitely a lot of hesitation among people who I've noticed, you know, people who have tried this route. For me, it was kind of natural to talk about it and to be open about it and public about it because I'm an activist and stuff, and it just kind of was second nature. But I know because it's such a controversial issue, it would definitely have to be something that people would feel comfortable where they would not be attacked for the way that they're doing things. Because that is like when you're staring down death and you're trying your best way to figure it out and somebody's telling you that you're going to kill yourself doing what you're doing, basically, it's really upsetting. So a lot of people just shut off from talking about it. And I feel like that may be why a community for that hasn't developed yet. But I think it's a really good idea for something like that to start. And maybe that is maybe even a project that I would be involved with once I get back on my feet.
Yeah. Do you know who Kevin McKernan is?
Nah, I'm not familiar with that name.
Okay, he's a friend of the Fiends. I'm pretty sure Michael interviewed him either on Anarchy Gumbo or he's been on the Fiends before. But he's one of these science guys. I'm not talking about fake science guy like Bill Nye. I'm talking about like this guy is like real hardcore science guy. I can't remember all the details of it, but I believe he's a geneticist.
I think he is a geneticist.
Yeah, he was sequencing the DNA of cannabis, and he had to go over to Europe. I think Denmark or something like that. Just to do it because of all the restrictions that were put on doing this by the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is, like, so many restrictions on anything outside, and not just cannabis because it's illegal, like anything outside of the, you know, norm. All the doctors that I was dealing with through the year that I was trying to reject the chemo and stuff, they were so pushy, and they were like, you know, really, really trying to get me to go with the mainstream stuff. And, you know, a lot of them said that they were getting pressure from their bosses and things like that. And my hands were tied legally about the options that I could look at.
That's so sad. That has to change.
Land of the free. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Yeah. Music!
Yeah, music. Freedom Fiends. So you remember before the show even started, when the show was supposed to be going, I said, hey, the first segment, we usually just banter back and forth, and then we start covering stories a little bit later on. Sometimes banter will take up to an hour, maybe more. That's kind of what happened tonight, because the previous discussion wasn't planned at all.
No, but it's fun. I like this. It's been very interesting.
Yeah. So,
no doubt.
Anything else that we want to cover on this topic? We've got another 40 minutes of showtime left.
I think we wrap that one up pretty good, at least.
Yeah, for now.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, since we did talk about drugs, and let's talk about one of the most interesting of the pharmaceutical people. You had a story that you shared earlier, John, about America's most favorite pharmaceutical CEO or whatever he was, Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, or AKA Pharma Bro, as he is also known in the news.
You know, I look at these pictures of him, and he looks like he's right out of Central Casting for skeevy characters. I bet if you picked up a phone, you call Central Casting and says, you know what, I want somebody that just looks creepy. I want skeevy. I want somebody that could fill in for the clown in the storm drain, you know, without makeup. And I think they would send this guy's headshot over to you. Matter of fact, they might just send him. They won't even need the headshot. They'll just be like, Martin, go over there and creep those people out so they can do the job. And then you could cast him as your skeevy, creepy character person in the drain, sewer drain. But anyway, so what's going on with Martin?
Well, as some listeners may know, he is he's currently out on, well, he was out on bail, and I think it was like a $10 million bail or something crazy like that, because you know, he went to court a couple weeks ago, and I believe he was found guilty for fraud, at least one charge, and a couple of charges were dropped against him, but he got at least one of the charges against him. He doesn't think he's going away for a lot of time, but it seems like they may be kind of taking him kind of seriously, because he put out I'm not sure if it was a tweet or a Facebook post today, suggesting that his followers should try to get a strand of Hillary Clinton's hair at her book signing. I'm guessing for DNA testing to connect her with some type of crime. And
what the happy Halloween? Okay.
and then I guess the judge ended up catching wind of this and sending cops to his house to arrest him, saying that he was a danger to society, and that was apparently some kind of threat to Hillary Clinton.
You mean DNA testing is a threat to Hillary Clinton?
Well, taking her hair, I guess.
I guess if somebody goes into, like, just grabs a handful and winds up with a couple of strands of it, yeah, maybe that. But
you know, well, the idea is out in the ether, so.
Yeah. So what if she just sheds and somebody picks up a strand of the hair? Or what if somebody grabs a loose strand off of the back of her jacket and doesn't even actually touch her? They just grab that strand. Or they see it. like fall off of her, and it's just like slowly drifting down to the floor, kind of like a feather does in the cartoons. It's down, 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 and then they grab it right before it hits the floor and gets contaminated. So we're not talking like, you know, going and cutting her hair off and or shaving her head or anything like that.
Are they going to make a voodoo doll? Like, what did he want to do with the hair?
I really feel like he just wanted, like, one little strand of hair. Just one little strand.
Do you know that it's for DNA testing? Or is that just speculation on your part?
I think it might be speculation on my part.
Okay.
I mean, I just threw voodoo doll out there, and that was definitely speculation.
but
I did not read that anywhere.
That's good speculation. Now, my speculation here, and you remember how when I said I take a look at him, you know, I see like a really skeevy character. I could kind of see him taking that hair home, holding onto it with special pliers or forceps or something like that.
Oh my God.
With, of course, gloves on because he doesn't want to damage it. I could just see him sniffing it and like snorting the aroma out of it.
I think he'd do some evil bidding with it, like make a clone or something. I don't know. I think he would do something really nefarious with it. I mean, he's a smart guy.
I think he's trying to put her in jail, or he's just trolling. He's crazy.
He's nuts for sure.
We'll be back.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
And we are back. Freedom Fiends, this is Lou, joined by Lisa and John. Ah, this guy, Shkreli, he is... You know what? I think he's part Muppet for some reason. I don't know. I just look at him. I see a skeevy Muppet. So looking through some of this our stuff in here, I'm just going to read part of this article. A federal judge on Wednesday revoked the $5 million bail of Martin Shkreli, the infamous former hedge fund manager convicted of defrauding investors, after prosecutors complained that his out-of-court antics posed a danger to the community. While awaiting sentencing, Shkreli has harassed women online, allegedly, prosecutors argued, and even offered his Facebook followers $5,000 to grab a strand of Hillary Clinton's hair. Blah, blah, blah. So he's facing up to 20 years in prison for securities fraud, apologizing in writing, saying that he did not expect anyone to take his online comments seriously, as attorneys pleaded with the judge Wednesday to give him another chance. The fact that he continues to remain unaware of the inappropriateness of his actions or words demonstrates to me that he may be creating an ongoing risk to the community, said U.S. District Judge Kayo Matsumoto in revoking his bond. This is, God. Shkreli, wearing a lavender button-down shirt and slacks, was taken into custody immediately. My God, this guy can't be real. He has to be a character. He has to have, like, a team
of crisis actors.
Yeah.
Is Martin Shkreli a crisis actor?
Maybe he is. We're going to start seeing him pop up everywhere.
Creating crisis instead of, like, being a part of one.
This is my favorite part of the article, is this part. He did not appear to react to the judge's decision, though he appeared more nervous than when he entered court and refused to ride the elevator with one reporter because they were fake news.
Classic.
Love it.
He will be sent to a maximum security prison until his sentencing hearing in January.
Maximum security. The dude doesn't look like he could hurt, like physically harm anything, but he probably could get a bunch of minions to do some evil bidding for him, I bet.
Do they really want to put him in prison with like the hardcore guys?
Oh God.
No. But follow me on this. Yeah. Follow me on this. You're thinking that he's going to get passed around like a Muppet. What if he's an evil genius and he goes in there and he starts either charming the living daylights out of these folks or baffling them with bullshit humor? And what if he starts creating an army of serial killers and just the worst of the worst, the dregs of society. And what if he has them under his spell and they're doing his bidding, and he becomes like George Soros and the Koch brothers in Detroit. He wants the Freedom Fiends taken out. What if?
What if this happens? Possible. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump is our president.
I mean, we do have idiocracy happening.
Hashtag not my president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been my hashtag since I was born.
Yeah.
Well.
Worms.
Well, I learned later in life. But anyway. So, yeah. You know what? It is rather interesting because we got the idiocracy of, you know, President Camacho. But there's a would-be hopeful Senator Camacho.
No.
Kid Rock.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Did you see that video?
He is.
I did not. I saw articles about it, but I did not see the video.
I didn't watch the video either, but I saw the articles, too. I couldn't do it.
I'm kind of curious.
Okay, I did watch it, and I was expecting him to pull out, like, an M60 machine gun and start shooting up the ceiling, like, in Idiocracy with President Camacho doing the State of the Union address, you know. My fellow American, you mother bleepers, and I—that's
did he really say that?
No. I think that's what like Camacho was saying, but
That it was profanity laden. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I tell you what, it would be very interesting to hear him on the floor, you know, calling these people out. But
going to make people want to vote for him. That's the thing, because everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I want to vote for the guy that dropped the F-bomb. Just like they said with Trump, because he's, you know, running around with cats and stuff. You know what I mean?
We like Trump. Why do you like Trump? Because he's mean to people.
Yeah, what on earth?
Exactly.
My parents are from New York, so my mom's like, he's a New Yorker. You know, we just tell it like it is. And I'm like, no.
People from New York are jerks. Not all of them, but, you know, it's the fast-paced.
But there's a pretty good chance that that's the case. Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah,
Never mind.
I really see the idiocracy, not just in the candidates, but also in the general public. And I can see where people would want to vote for him because he is a celebrity and because they would want somebody to be the real life version of President Camacho out on the Senate floor. They want somebody that's going to say, look, we can't have welfare, but we got to take care of the poor. Because that's essentially what he said.
Well, I mean, I think that's cool.
Yeah, we can't have welfare, but we got to take care of these folks. You know? And
I'll have to listen tomorrow. I'm curious. Now.
Yeah, because he was talking about the healthcare. He says, you know what, I've been blessed, so I'm willing to pay more for it because you know I've got the money. He was volunteering himself, which was kind of a good thing because usually these commies are generous with other people's money. But he's talking about how people don't have to be taken care of, but they also have to be taken care of.
I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
He contradicts himself a couple times in there. And it's not like he says something in the beginning of it and then 10 minutes later he says something else. No, I'm talking about he drops the banner just like in 1984 and oh no, I've never been at war with East Asia. It was just absolutely horrible. I generally think of politicians and entertainers as idiots, and I think when you combine the two of them together, you get like a special breed of idiot.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
I do believe that there is kind of something good about the fact that people are no longer demanding that whole that fake presidential kind of high and mighty type demeanor. I think it might say something to that we may be making some progress towards not wanting a ruler at all, maybe, or maybe not seeing them as a higher form.
It's all a joke
now,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic.
I think you're being overly optimistic. It's not that they don't want the prim and proper gentleman. Ronald Reagan was a blithering idiot, but you know what? He did carry on a very positive persona. You didn't have to be embarrassed every time he opened his mouth because he was a great speaker. Unfortunately, his actions didn't replicate his words, but he was very, this is some residual, no, it's not even residual statism. I'm using this as a description. He was very presidential. He was very proper. You know, if you were a statist and you cared about presidents, he's somebody that you could be proud of by the way that he conducted himself. Now, they just want the drunk guy that sits down at the end of the corner, at the end of the bar at the local gin mill. And that's they want some jerkwad that's going to go out there and say outrageous things.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
That's what I see.
Reality TV, it's like that.
Yeah, they're people don't know this yet, but they're just dying for a Kardashian to be in the White House.
Yeah, it's like infotainment.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I'm going off on a little tangent here. Somebody asked me the other day, says, why are you an anarchist? Look at humanity. Look at human fallibility. Look at all these different things. And I says, all those reasons that you say that we need a government are why I'm an anarchist. Because the average person out there is too dumb and too emotional to handle such a dangerous weapon as a government. And you won't give McNukes to a cage full of monkeys, would you? You want to let them play with automatic rifles? There's a reason for that.
We have for the past 200 years.
Yep. Yeah. Sure have. Well,
people can't be trusted with government.
No.
I'm sorry, they can't. And quite frankly, maybe humans aren't really that stupid. Maybe it's just the fact that the government's been monopolizing education for so long. I don't know.
I think that we are operating on stupid ideas. I think that we are very intelligent creatures who are operating on, who are running on primitive operating systems. You know what I mean?
I do agree that it's more conditioning than nature. And that's been my theory for quite some time. Granted, my anecdotal evidence, I just turned 47, so I don't have a whole lot of years of research, but I just noticed like a dumbing down of the population from the time that I was like a teenager. When I look at people, I was like, holy cow, they didn't used to be this dumb, and they're just stupid. And I really think a lot of it has come from the government indoctrination system and the conditioning.
That, and I think the internet, it's odd because we have access to more information than ever. Yet, I think social media, because I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember the pre-internet days and pre-social media days when people were actually quite polite to each other. Now, you know, people are just these, I guess, keyboard warriors, and everyone just says whatever they feel like saying, and they don't think that, hey, that's an actual human I'm talking to. And you know, they may have, because I hesitate when people kind of come at me online about things. I'll start to get defensive and respond, and then I stop myself and I think, wait a minute, this person has their own ideas that came from their upbringing and their indoctrination and whatever else they've been exposed to. And I need to consider that when I reply. And just because they're being abrasive doesn't mean that I need to stoop to that level. But also, something that I have enjoyed researching for several years are cognitive biases. There's a lot of that too.
Let's chat about that when we come back.
Sure.
Because the music's playing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going great. Meow, meow, meow.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Freedom Fiends. The final segment. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Lisa and John. And what in the happy Halloween were we talking about at the end of the last segment? I forgot. Because we were going to talk about it some more.
I have pretty bad memory.
Yeah, I do too. I don't remember.
At least bad short-term memory. I'm not sure what's to blame for that, but I do tend to have a really bad short-term memory.
Well, I'm not a stoner, so I have no idea why I can't remember. You guys, it's easy. So, what are you talking about, though?
Stoners. Is that what you mean? Shots fired. That's funny.
Well, let's put it this way. The last time I used cannabis, probably half of the hosts on this show weren't even born yet.
What was it, before 1986?
It may have been 87.
Oh, wow. Well,
I was about a year old, man.
It was 86 or 87. I think it was 11th grade, so it could have been 86.
Oh, my goodness. It's been like 2 days for me.
It's been about 2 seconds.
Which kind of explains why nobody knows what in the happy Halloween we're talking about. So, we're going to talk about the congressional agenda.
Oh, yeah.
Did we have any more jokes about Martin Shkreli?
I don't know. I mean, we could probably, but we could go with this. Yeah. We could go with this.
All right, let's go on the congressional agenda. I know there's something that Lisa wanted to cover.
Yeah, this is from The Onion, so it's a satire, but...
Fake news.
Like I said, a couple of nights ago on here, The Onion is honest. I think they actually, they're more honest than... They're like anti-fake news. This is honest. So the article is titled, Congress's Agenda...
Their satire is real.
Yeah, it is. Congress Agenda for the Upcoming Term. Congress just returned from recess, and they are faced with a hugely ambitious agenda. Here's what they'll focus on over the next several months. Pass a replacement of the DACA for Trump to sign and campaign against in 2020. Vote on some Schumer about wetlands that Congressman Keith Rothfuss won't shut up about. Decide what each of them would be if they were all candy bars. Pass a sweeping health care law specifically designed to keep John McCain alive long enough to vote for a full repeal of Obamacare. Get a bill that says tax somewhere on it to a president's desk. Shatter the debt ceiling. Let loose with some freeform indignant shouting. Come together as a united bipartisan front to name a few post offices after Jerry Lewis. And although they have a packed schedule, lawmakers would still like to strip health care from 22 million Americans when they have a free minute.
That is hilarious.
Which is your favorite and why?
Mine?
Yes.
Probably right now, the shatter the debt ceiling. It's kind of timely, considering.
Yeah, 20 trillion?
Uh-huh.
Interestingly enough,
shameful.
I went through, there was a time where I was politically active. I was working on a campaign. I was doing research on the opponent. And I went back and I looked for his votes on the debt ceiling. And what I had found when it came to raising the debt ceiling, because it didn't just, I couldn't just get a thing of just his votes. It showed everybody. What I saw when it came to raise the debt ceiling was it did not matter which party was in the White House. It really mattered which party had the majority in Congress. So outside of, let's say, Ron Paul, if the Republicans had the majority in the House, it was darn near a party line vote for raising the debt ceiling.
Wow.
If the Democrats had the majority in the House, it was a party line vote to raise the debt ceiling. And that's even when Bush was in office.
Go figure.
So what it really comes down to is they're screwing everybody and they're working together on it.
But
people think that they're not working together because people are dumb. People are too dumb to have a government.
I agree.
They need anarchy.
Yes. Please.
You have a way with words, my friend.
Thank you very much. And thanks for coming on tonight, both of you, short notice, because Chandler got droned today. The Soros brothers and George Koch took him out by ruining his internet. So thanks for coming on. Thanks everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. For more Lisa, go to Nutritional Anarchy. And for more John, go to...
TheConsciousResistance.com.